This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
This month in the news, bubble trouble for the Milky Way, solar snapshots, and synchronised dancing dwarfs. Something in the centre of the Milky Way is making a bit of a stir, blowing out two bubbles of hot ionised gas which stretch out so far above and below the galaxy that together they are almost as large as the galactic diameter. The bubbles were first seen as a faint glow of X-rays in the direction of the galactic centre, but later were also seen in the gamma ray and radio parts of the spectrum. The current explanation for these bubbles comes from observations of other galaxies, around which we also see large bubbles of hot gas being expelled. The driving force in these other galaxies originates from their central supermassive black hole, which feeds upon the dense environment of stars, gas, and dust within some galaxies' cores, and then expelling the leftovers into intergalactic space. The Milky Way also has a supermassive black hole, however it long ago consumed most of the material near it, and therefore sits quiet and invisible in the direction of Sagittarius A. This means that the bubbles we see are not the product of a constantly fueled black hole engine, but the sputtering fumes from intermittent stars which strayed too close to the event horizon. The latest set of observations of the Milky Way's bubbles comes from a team of researchers led by Ettore Carietti, who used the Parkes Observatory in Australia to map the entire southern sky at a frequency of 2.3 GHz. By observing at these low frequencies, the team were able to map the light being emitted from spiralling electrons as they followed the multitude of magnetic field lines that permeate the galaxy. Most of these magnetic field lines are produced by the galaxy itself, but others can be generated by highly energetic events, such as supernovae, or, importantly for the Parkes researchers, by whatever is blowing out the bubbles from the galactic centre. The conclusions of the Parkes Observatory research flies in the face of general consensus for what in the galactic core is producing the Milky Way's bubbles. This is because they are able to trace the bubbles much more deeply into the centre of the galaxy than any other previous observations. And what they find is the bubbles do not appear to be closing to a point, as would be expected if the Milky Way's supermassive black hole is to blame. Instead, the bubbles are still 700 light-years wide at the galactic centre. This happens to coincide with a recently discovered ring of highly dense star-forming gas. This is a region thought to form more stars on average than any other part of the Milky Way, and therefore there will be lots of stars dying, which means lots of supernova events. So many supernova events, in fact, that Carietti and his team think it is more than enough to be the engine blowing the Milky Way's bubbles. The Sun's corona is a spectacle that many have seen as the striking white filaments of light during an eclipse's moment of totality. For solar physicists, though, the corona poses an unusual and long-standing problem for our understanding of the Sun. It is far too hot. The temperature of the corona exceeds 1 million degrees Celsius, which is more like the temperatures at the Sun's core than the much cooler photosphere, the layer we see daily in the sky, which is only a mere 5,500 degrees Celsius. An explanation for why the corona is so much hotter comes from the theory of magnetic reconnection. The theory proposes that tremendous amounts of energy can be injected into the corona when magnetic fields from the Sun's surface stretch precariously out into space. Then, if two magnetic field lines get too close, they snap together and in the process release the surge of energy that powers the corona. The problem with the theory is a case of scale. As to definitely prove magnetic reconnection is the cause of the heating of the solar corona requires observing the Sun's surface on scales of just 100 to 200 kilometers. The high-resolution coronal imager, known as HiC, is a pathfinder experiment to test if it is possible to build a space-based telescope with high enough resolution to observe the process of magnetic reconnection occurring above the Sun's surface. HiC was launched on a small rocket to reach a suborbital height so that it would be in space for only 5 minutes. But in that time, it would take images of the Sun with unprecedented levels of detail. The resolution of the previous experiments, such as the Solar Dynamics Observatory, could only see large-scale structures in the corona, but the HiC experiment sees so much detail that it can make out the tiny braids within these larger structures, which are perhaps evidence of magnetic reconnection. However, 5 minutes of observations of a small part of the Sun only gives a tiny, if intriguing, insight into the finer structures of the corona. This is the real success of the Hi-C experiment, since it has proved there is something there, and that we can observe it. Then the next logical step can be taken, which is to launch a satellite with Hi-C's optics, which can orbit the Sun, therefore allowing for continuous observations over a much longer time frame. And finally, large spiral galaxies like the Milky Way or Andromeda never form alone. They always come with an entourage of smaller dwarf galaxies which slowly orbit their hosts over billions of years, and in many cases are slowly pulled apart as the larger galaxy pulls long strings of stars into its fold. As well as being smaller, dwarf galaxies are also usually much fainter because they contain only the very oldest stars, as after the first generation of stars began to die, they violently expelled all the gas and dust required for new stars in a series of supernovae. The observational consequences for this mean our only real comprehensive example for how dwarf galaxies behave come from our nearest neighbouring spiral galaxy, Andromeda. Unfortunately, the galactic waltz between Andromeda and 13 of its orbiting dwarf galaxies has been observed to be behaving in a way not expected by current galaxy formation theories. The astronomers, using a telescope atop the dormant volcano Mauna on Hawaii, have noted that all 13 dwarf galaxies are orbiting Andromeda in the same direction, and are all confined to a thin plane which is only a fraction of the thickness of Andromeda's disk. This is almost completely the opposite to the expected theory that dwarf galaxies have unique, randomly orientated orbits, and the probability of this alignment occurring by chance is incredibly small. What is even more concerning is this adds to the already confusing question as to why we see less dwarf galaxies than we expect. By adding unexpected coherent structures to the older problem, it goes to show that something in our understanding of the story of dwarf galaxies is flawed. However, it is usually at times like this that researchers are most excited, as it shows there is still much left to discover.